الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما التوبة على الله للذين يعملون السوء بجهالة ثم يتوبون من قريب فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وكان الله عليما حكيما. وقال تعالى: نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, human existence on planet Earth is riddled with challenges. There is simply no exception to this rule. عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُوسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ. Whether you live the life of affluence or you live the life of poverty and penury, لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ. Grief, sorrow, pain, anxiety will inevitably plague you. كُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِنْ طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهَا النَّكْبَاءُ وَالْحُوَبُ. Every home, regardless of how prolonged its prosperity is, sadness and depression will grip it at some time or the other. سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. Some people due to depression cannot sleep and others cannot get up. Some people due to depression, they cannot sleep, they toss in, and others cannot get up. He's so depressed, he's so distraught, he's so suicidal, he's so miserable, just sleeping for extended hours. سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. فَدْرَئِ الْهَمَّ عَنِ النَّفْسِ. The poet says, inhale and exhale, exhale and relax and calm yourself down. إِنَّ رَبَّا كَفَاكَ بِالْأَمْسِ مَا كَانَ سَيَكْفِيكَ فِي غَدٍ يَكُونُ. The very Allah who took care of you yesterday is the same Allah that is active today and is the same Allah that will protect you in the years to come. Allah is never inactive or dormant or heedless or oblivious. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't for a split second entertain the thought that Allah is unmindful of the evil and the wrong of those committing vice, evil and transgression. The Arabic poet said, وَمَنْ يَذُقِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنِّي طَعِمْتُهَا وَسِيقَ إِلَيْنَا عَذْبُهَا وَعَذَابُهَا. That in my life I was exposed to the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, the blissful side of life and the downside of life. And if I have to conclude in one breath and in one stanza of a poem, surely it would be, فَلَمْ أَرَ إِلَّا غُرُورًا وَبَاطِلًا كَمَا لَاحَ فِي ظَهْرِ الْفَلَاةِ سَرَابُهَا. This world is nothing more than an optical illusion. It's nothing more than an optical illusion, pretty much like the reflection of the mirage in the desert, where you are coming closer and it's moving further and further. يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. That a thirsty person perceives the water to be close, but as he inches forward, he realizes it was a sheer reflection, it was a delusion, it was an optical illusion, and there's absolutely nothing. وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا جِيفَةٌ مُسْتَحِيلَةٌ عَلَيْهَا كِلَابٌ. And it is nothing but a corpse over which the vultures of this world are fighting. فَإِن تَجْتَنِبْهَا كُنْتَ سَلْمًا لِأَهْلِهَا وَإِن تَجْتَذِبْهَا نَازَعَتْكَ كِلَابُهَا. If you backstep, then you will rescue yourself and you will fortify yourself. But if you encroach and try and find a niche and exploit and infiltrate, then join the other vultures and who knows how much you'll get and how much you'll be hurt in the process. فَطُوبَى لِنَفْسٍ أُولِعَتْ قَعْرَ دَارِهَا مُغَلَّقَةَ الْأَبْوَابِ مُرْخًا حِجَابُهَا. Fortunate are those who stay indoor for the greater part of their time and exit when it is necessity. You look around you, my brother, there is an ambience of gloom. There is an atmosphere of depression. Even the man who is in a good wicket, he's healthy, he's sound, he's doing good, he's down, he's depressed. Ask him, I don't know, there's just no more excitement, there's just no more pleasure. Each person has been gripped in some form of sadness or sorrow. Some are popping pills to come out of this depression. Others are pursuing illicit relations under the false notion that it will comfort them. Asma'i or Isma'i, the great Arabic authority, he said, I went to one tribe in Yemen in the search of learning and enhancing my Arabic ability. So I came to the tribe of Banu Udhra. So I found written on a plaque, Billahi akhbiru ayyuhal ushaqu, idha ishtadda wajdum bimri'in kayfa yasna'u. Oh people, advise a young man who's infatuated over a woman, how must he deal with this illicit relation? So he said, I seen this, it intrigued me. I said, look at the eloquence of this nation and look at the words of this boy. So I flipped the plaque and I responded to his comments. I said, يُدَوِي سِرَّهُ وَيَكْتُمُ هَوَاهُ وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ. Any unlawful whisper within you, any unlawful aspiration or ambition within you, the answer is simple. Suppress your fantasy. Suppress, treat your fantasy, conceal your malady and persevere. After all, life is all about perseverance. After all, life is all about perseverance. Sayyidina Ali said, I supplicate my Lord. When he answers my prayer, I feel elated. But when he doesn't answer my prayer as I wanted it to happen, I feel more elated, simply because this is the fruition of his desire and not my desire. So I wrote there, persevere and conceal your fantasy. And I moved on. The next day I came back, I seen on that same plaque it was written, كَيْفَ يُدَاوِي وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ رُوحُهُ يَتَقَطَّعُ. O brother who took the time to respond to my concern, easier said than done. How do I suppress my fantasy when the crave of a woman kills me every day? The sheer thought, the sheer aspiration, the sheer fantasy, it bothers me and it leaves me restless by night. So he said, I took my pen and then I engraved on it. And this is for any haram relation, whether it is an illicit relation, whether it is a drug addiction, whether it is a gambling habit, whether Allah forbid it is perusing porn on different sites, whatever the nature may be. I recited the, I wrote the next couplet. I said, إِلَّمْ يُتِقْ صَبْرًا وَسِرًّا لِكَتْمِهِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. If you cannot contain and persevere and suppress and subdue that evil within you, then there's nothing other than death that's going to put an end to it. In essence, it is better to crush that ego within you or then succumb to it and it crushes you for the rest of your life. It crushes you and destroys you for the rest of your life. So people are taking 1,000 things, popping pills, doing this therapy, that therapy. Today I present before you the words of one of the great giants of Islam, and he presents before us a spiritual antidepressant to take us out of that doom, gloom, misery, that corner in which we find ourselves, where we just don't see a glimmer of hope, or we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And these are the words of Atha ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah. But before I share with you his divine antidepressant, maybe it would be good to refresh our memory on who this great saint and this great sage was. Suffice to say, in the accolade of this individual, that Imam Abu Hanifa paid tribute to him by saying, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَفْقَهْ مِنْ حَمَّادٍ وَلَا أَجْمَعْ لِلْعُلُومِ مِنْ عَطَى. From all my scholars, I didn't see someone more sound in jurisprudence than my teacher Hammad. And I didn't see anyone more acquainted, more familiar, or who had imbibed more knowledge in his bosom than Atta ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah. He used to mention regarding a person in i'tikaf, Ramadan, the last 10 nights, he said, because i'tikaf, today again we've lost the whole spirit. The aim of i'tikaf is isolation. And if a cell phone is with you, there is no isolation. It goes against the grain totally. You say, no, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. I'm alone in my cubicle, it's just me, my Allah and my phone. مثل المعتكف مثل رجل يختلف على باب عظيم. The case of a mu'takif is a man persisting at the door of a great person. La abrah, I'm not going to move until you don't accede to my request. These were the words of Atta ibn Abi Rabah. In fact, the great jurist and the great scholar Abu Hanifa says, أَخْطَأْتُ فِي خَمْسَةِ أَبْوَابٍ مِّنَ الْمَنَاسِكِ فَعَلَّمَنِيهَا حَجَّامٌ. I actually erred in five rulings of Hajj, Imam Abu Hanifa is saying. Look at how bold they were to confess their mistakes. They were open, they were candid, they were transparent. I made five errors in my life in pertaining to the rituals of Hajj. وَذَلِكَ أَنِّي أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَحْلِقَ رَأْسِي لِأَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِحْرَامِ. I completed the rituals of Hajj and I wanted to exit from the state of Ihram. There is the garb of Ihram and then there is the condition of Ihram. So if your piece of cloth falls out, you haven't exited the state of Ihram. That's the cloth falling off. The condition is different. I often say to the sister, there is the dress of hijab and then there is the essence of hijab. These are two separate things. When we veil ourselves, and likewise to a male, when you bring in that modest garb, that is the dress. But the essence is a life of bashfulness, a life of modesty, a life of loyalty. The Arabic poet said, الْوَفَاءُ شَجَرَةٌ جَمِيعُ ثِمَارِهَا طَيِّبًا. Loyalty, fidelity, and trustworthiness is a tree that only bears good fruit. وَزِوَاجٌ بِلَا وَفَاءٍ أَيَّامُهُ قَلِيلًا. And a relation and a marriage devoid and bereft of fidelity is short-lived. It's only a matter of time. There's no marriage in place there. There is a skeleton, there is an external appearance, but the essence, unfortunately, is lost. So he said, as I completed my Hajj, I went to a regular barber there and I said, would you please shave my hair? And what are your charges? What are your charges to shave my hair? So he said, اجلس وأعطي ما يتيسر لك النسك لا يشارط فيه. Brother, we don't take money when it comes to worship. Maybe back in the days. When it comes to the acts of worship, we don't talk finance and monetary. Sit down, I will shave your hair, and whatever you're comfortable with, you can give me. فخجلت وجلست. I felt embarrassed that a barber is teaching me something which I was not acquainted with. But anyway, I sat down. غير أني جلست منحرفا عن القبلة. But in that excitement and embarrassment, I didn't align and focus myself towards the Qibla. You know, a person's going to propose the first time, he's nervous, the cup nearly fall out of his hand, and then he don't know where he left his phone, the usual things, butterflies in his stomach. So anyway, I sat down and I didn't face the Qibla. فأومأ إلي, he jabbed me from the rear. And استقبل القبلة. Brother, you should know better, you've just performed Hajj, face the Qibla. Today we omit these practices. It is the implementation of all these finer things that a man returns from Hajj and then he is pardoned like the day his mother gave birth to him. Today we overlook, we ignore, we say, no, that's not so important. That's okay. One person made a remark and he said that the beard is nothing but a sunnah. Academically, juristically, it's graded, its rating is a sunnah. So a great scholar responded very amazing. He said, academically your answer is correct, but your tone gives off the stench of blatant disbelief. Academically, that's right, that's only my mother. That is your biological mother. But that attitude, that approach, that's brazen violation. That gives off the stench of kufr. Imagine from that statement, may Allah protect us. Trivializing, condescending for any sunnah, what's left? So he jabbed me from the rear and then I faced the Qibla. I told him, okay brother, can you start shaving my hair please? And in doing so, inadvertently I point to the left side of my head. I just did that. You know, they say this youngster was taken to the neurosurgeon and they said, do an assessment on him and say, you know, the brain is divided into the right and the left. You got nothing left in the right and nothing right in the left. Anyway, he said, brother, you should know better. Adir shiqqaq al-ayman, a believer starts from the right. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhibbu at-tayamuna fi kulli shay. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved doing things from the right. I travel often and I ask Allah to accept my humble travels. Every time I travel, inevitably I'm exposed to other cultures at airports, at hotels, while I'm flying. And every time I look at that, I am reminded on the richness of my teachings. I'm reminded on the purity of my teachings. When I see how others eat, when I see how others relieve themselves, when I see how others conduct, because in our home environment, I'm not in a corporate sector, I'm not interacting with others very much other than within our own close circles. But as I travel often and I meet and get exposed to others, every time it's a fresh reminder to see the beauty of the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really speaking, people, how often I have had the personal experience, people want to revive deen. You drop your prayer mat and you see how four people will come and join you for prayer. Roll your sleeves up. Brother, are you going to be making ablution? Hey, I would love to pray. Where are you praying? It's unfortunately that we're sitting back. And as Maulana alluded, I just came back from France. Subhanallah, I was really trying to excuse myself due to the sheer number of commitments I had. But what an eye-opener. What an eye-opener. In particular, one, two incidents that stand out for me. We just got back yesterday. My last talk was on Sunday. And obviously, English is not spoken, so we had to conduct the bulk of programs in Arabic and an odd program or two in Urdu. And there was French translation side by side. Sheikh Ayoub, we were very fortunate to meet the scholar in the heart of Paris. Back in the years, he was a French who reverted to Islam. And then he studied deen. Today he has authored books. And he is the teacher and the mentor of thousands of students graduating as scholars. And he says, Subhanallah, just look at the work and the doing of Allah. I met another brother, his name is Ali. He said, Sheikh, you won't forget me. I said, yes, your tale is so impressive. He said, that's not all, my surname is Forget. Obviously, I don't have a French pronunciation, forget or mercy, and we're learning the few words. Anyway, F-O-R-G-E-T, that's my surname. So he said, you won't forget me. I said, definitely I will not forget you. Besides the forget surname part of it. He reverted to Islam 25 years ago. MashaAllah, an active soldier and ambassador of deen. And then he started tearing, tears welled up in his eyes, and I embraced him. They introduced me to him. And then I said, what's it? He said, with the grace of Allah, 3 months ago, my mom accepted Islam at the age of 92. I said, Brother Ali, and share the secret with me and divulge the formula to me. He said, for 25 years, I made dua every day and I never invited her, but I showed her character every single day. I just displayed character and character and character to her. I was a guest speaker at an event where there was a Hibs graduation. And amongst those that graduated, there was a very beautiful young man looking, and he also completed the Hifz, and with him were his little kids that came together. So I said, Subhanallah, this is very impressive. I was very intrigued by what I seen. I asked one of the guests there, the host, I said, can you tell me a little more about this brother? He said, he's married, these are his children, he's married to a French revert who reverted to Islam, and his wife motivated him to study the Quran and memorize the Quran. People are coming in their numbers and their flocks. Our deen is complete. Our deen is wholesome. Allah has kept absolute peace and serenity in deen. There is no two opinions about this. Be it as it may, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, فَأَدَرْتُ. I then turned my head and he started shaving my hair. I said, I better observe silence here because any gesture this man is deducing some ruling. So when I observed silence, he said, brother, you complete in Hajj and you're silent, you should be taking Allah's name. Now, today's time, and no offense, if you sit in at the barbershop, in fact, they say some of these barbershops, they cater for you to WhatsApp while they're cutting your hair. Right? Because this is how life is evolving and this is how things are happening. Or you update yourself with the happenings and the gossip of the town, or you get the ins and outs. And he said, yeah, I'm shaving my hair and look at the ambience of knowledge. Look at how people were learning. Look at how people were connected. You were being connected to Allah even in that simple ritual or apparently simple ritual. He said, Mali araka sakiran kabbir. So I started saying Allahu Akbar. When I completed, I acknowledged him. I gave him whatever I had. And then I started moving. So he said, ila aina tamdhi? Where are you off to? I said, uridu an adhaba ila rahli. I want to go and join my group. He said, salli rak'atayn. You should know better, brother, after the completion and you've shaven your head, it's best to offer 2 rakats prayer, 2 units of prayer, and then go. I offered my 2 rakat, but this thing was bothering me and it was concerning me. A man shaving hair, such knowledge, such caliber, so profound. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, لا يبيعن في أسواقنا. We will not give a lease and a shop and rental and a premises to anyone in our marketplace until he doesn't master the sciences of fiqh relevant to his trade. That was the prerequisite. Our understanding of fiqh or to attract spirituality is nothing more than the presence of a pious person there, and for him to invoke the blessings of Allah, and then to have an official opening with a little meal, and that's how we've attracted spirituality. Other than that, we do things as we like. قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. The nation of Shu'aib said, we don't have an issue with you, but don't tell your faith and your teachings to govern and dictate our business dealings. Don't govern our business dealings. And unfortunately, many of us today, we've limited Islam to everything else, and we've kept it outside the circle of commerce and trade, whereas if only we can bring it in the correct way, and we have the correct vision. I once met a doctor, I was gone for a program, and I was flying back, so he was on board. And in the flight, he said, I attended your program, it was in a neighboring state. And he said, I really enjoyed the talk, and I said, I appreciate the comments, and we got chatting. And I asked him, so how's your practice, and where are you practicing? He said, no, I left my practice. So I said, but you're a doctor, you have the degree, why would you abandon your practice? He said, because as a doctor, I was not living up to inflation. So I said, okay, dissect, unpack, put flesh to the theory, talk my language, what are we talking here now? Not living up to inflation, you know, what is this all about? He said, I bought the latest vehicle 3 years ago. 3 years later, from the revenue and the dividends that my practice generated, I couldn't buy the equivalent latest car 3 years later. So I said that, you know what, this is futile, I can put my hands into something else. It hit me so hard that the pain has still not left my heart. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا سَعْيًا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ تَعَطُّفًا عَلَىٰ جَارِهِ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَوَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمْرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. He who goes out to earn so that he can provide for his kids, he can take care of his aged parents, he can keep himself away from begging, tell him his face will be permeating light and brightness like the 14th full moon. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا. And he who also acquires this world lawful, permissible, legitimate, not unlawful, but مُكَاثِرًا مُفَاخِرًا مُرَائِيًا, purely to maintain a prestige image in society. That I must always be identified with the best class in everything. Tell him when he comes, Allah doesn't want to meet him. Can you imagine if that's the warning and that's the motivation in our acquisition, then what if we dabble in unlawful? What if we tarnish and pollute and contaminate ourselves in the forbidden? May Allah protect one and all. So I asked him, I said, brother, where did you acquire all the sciences from? He said, رَأَيْتُ عَطَى إِبْنَ أَبِي رَبَاحْ يَفْعَلُهُ فَفَعَلْتُ وَوَجَّهْتُ النَّاسَ إِلَيْهِ. I seen عَطَى إِبْنَ أَبِي رَبَاحْ doing this. I learned from him and I directed people to him. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, I learned from this Atta, who was an African scholar, 5 great masail pertaining to Hajj. Anyway, it is the words of this very great giant Atta, and this is the spiritual antidepressant that he gives us. He says, La, and it is in the Hashya of Jalalain with reference to Sawi, La yasma'u surata Yusuf mahzunun illa staraha ilayha. Any depressed person, any miserable individual, any man who's distraught, any person who's feeling low, down and out, if he listens, studies and reflects over the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam, instantly and permanently Allah will free him from the shackles of depression. Why? Because this tale is so unique that it embodies practically every dimension of life. فَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مُبْتَلَىٰ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفِ لِتَكُونَ عَزَاءً لَكَ فِي هَذَا الْبَلَاءَ الَّذِي أَصَابَكَ. To every man who is a victim of, to every person who is in pain, in agony, in adversity, the tale of Yusuf is a beacon of hope. It is a glamour of hope that as Allah freed him, Allah will rescue you. وَإِلَى كُلِّ شَابٍ مَفْتُونٍ بِفِتْنَةِ النِّسَاءِ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ لِتَكُونَ هَادِيًا لَكَ إِلَى أَن تَكُونَ فِي عِفَّةِ يُوسُفَ. And to every young man infatuated over a woman, study the modesty, the loyalty, the bashfulness, and the integrity of Yusuf so you can draw from his life. وَإِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَظْلُومٍ أُهْدِي إِلَيْكَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفَ. And to every person who is a victim, the tale of Yusuf sounds a warning to the oppressor and gives comfort to the victim. What? أَنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ, that the help of Allah is close and it is inevitable. وَإِلَى كُلِّ مَسْؤُولٍ, and to every man who finds himself in the position of power or authority, on a micro or macro, domestic or global stage, remind yourself properly, my brother, أَنَّ هَذَا التَّكْلِيفُ, أَنَّ هَذَا التَّكْلِيفُ, that this responsibility or this throne that has been given to you is more a responsibility than a privilege. وَلِتُؤَدِّي الْأَمَانَةِ لِلْأُمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ, and that you discharge the obligation in which you find yourself. Ubay ibn Ka'b asked Umar during his period, you have nominated and delegated and appointed people in different posts in the government, why haven't you selected me for any post? He said, أَخْشَىٰ أَن يُدَنِّسَ دِينَكَ, you're a man of faith and piety, and position might just tarnish your piety. I really don't want to soil your name. You have a clean slate. Live like this and die like this and meet Allah like this. أَخْشَىٰ أَن يُدَنِّسَ دِينَكَ. The ulama tell us, why is the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam referred to in the Quran as the best of tales? Allah said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. We narrate to you the best tale that you can ever hear. Why? This is mentioned in Al-Bahru Al-Muhid, لِأَنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ ذُكِرَ فِيهَا كَانَ مَآلُهُ إِلَى السَّعَادَةِ. Every person who features in this tale has a noble end. Now reflect and introspect. The Quran impresses upon us not to be deceived by people's in-between phases and stages. But let's see what happened in the end. Constantly, this is the message of the Quran. Don't be deceived by the beginning, don't be deceived by the end. In the end, what happened? فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Look at those in the end, what happened? Many of the, in akhirat it's inevitable, but even in this world, many so-called celebrities, high flyers, big people, living life of comfort, in the lap of luxury, in the end, when the fame goes and the glory goes, then the man dies as a pauper on the streets or dies behind bars. So in the end, what happened? When you look at the tale of Yusuf, his brothers ultimately are pardoned, they are reunited. The very minister, his wife, all revert to Islam and accept Islam at the hands of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hence the Quran refers to this tale as the best of tales because its moral in the end is great, wholesome, permanent and profound. So what happens, and as we move on, we will draw analogies into the life, our daily lives and activities, so that we can find direction, guidance and navigation. The young boy Yusuf alayhi salam had a beautiful dream. What was his dream? إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. Oh my dad, I seen this 11 stars, sun and moon prostrating to me. When the environment is good, then the dreams will be great. Ask a small child today, what are his aspirations? I wish I can dine with this celebrity. I wish I can eat with this celebrity. Now in France, on my last talk, I had a lady's talk, and just when I completed the talk, an Arab brother came up to me, Sheikh, lahza, a minute, a moment, can I have a word with you? And the host wanted to get me out because we had some other meetings and some, you know, invite, etc. He said, please afford me a moment. I said, okay, fine, and he set me down. He brought his six-year-old Arab daughter, and he said, last night she had a dream in which she was talking to Allah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I'm saying, like, ya Allah, our kids are talking Mickey Mouse and they're talking other things, and six-year-old, what they telling? And he said, the little girl said, Sumayya, akhbir al-shaykh an al-ru'ya. And she was a girl and she was a little nervous, and she said, na al-abd anta taqul, you tell the sheikh. And he insisted on the little girl, and she started talking, and tears welled up in my eyes, and I was doing a little translation for the other people that were in the group. And she says, last night I seen my Lord. Last night I seen my Lord in a dream. And we were four of us, and we were ushered into the gardens of Jannah. And as we entered, I asked my Allah, طَلَبْتُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَوْزِ, these were her words, I asked Allah for a banana. وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودٍ, we heard beautifully in the melodious recitation of the Quran in Isha. And this again is my pain, my brother. I cry and I cry again. We haven't connected ourselves to the Quran. People will fly across the globe. We were based at a hotel close to a stadium, and you see people travel the globe to watch a match. It's your money, it's your health, you know better what you want to do with your life. For heaven's sake, it's running out. Time is running out. Share some time and understand the message of the Quran. Take out some time. Ahlan wa sahlan bi dayfin nazal. Sayyidina Ali said, there are two things. If I cry till I lose my sight and I become blind, I won't able to express 1/10 of my regret. Number one, I lost my youth. And he spent his youth objectively. Imagine that. A man whose youth was in deen. He said, شَيْئَانِ لَوْ بَكَتِ الدِّمَاعَ عَلَيْهِمَا حَتَّى تَأْذَنَا بِذِهَابِ لَمْ تَبْلُغِ الْمِعْشَارَ مِنْ حَقِّيهِمَا فَقْدُ الشَّبَابِ وَفُرْقَةُ الْأَحْبَابِ. My youth is gone. I talk of myself getting close to the 40 mark. It haunts me and I'm thinking, Ya Allah, getting close, what have I done with my life? What have I done with my life? It's just moving away. We haven't connected ourselves to the Quran. We haven't concerned ourselves with the Quran. So what was recited so beautifully, and this is so wonderful, it's so spiritual, it's so refreshing, because we all go through our dull moments, and then you come for Maghrib, or you come for Isha, and then different verses of the Quran are recited, and they just pierce a spear in your heart, and make a direct message to you. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. So a large chunk from the first people, and a small portion from the latter nations that will go to the highest abode in Jannah. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَةٍ. On thrones that would be woven with gold. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مَوْضُونَةٍ مُتَّكِئِينَ. Reclining. عَلَيْهَا مُتَقَابِلِينَ. يَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ. يَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ. The lads that will come, the lads that will offer the food in Jannah, the servants of paradise. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. At a distance they will appear like scattered pearls. The scholars tell us, pearls when they scattered, it enhances its beauty. In Surah Dahar, Allah speaks about the, we don't discuss Jannah. Allah speaks of three people. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ. The pious will drink from a vessel. كأسها كإن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا. It would be blended with the camphor of paradise. The first level of dwellers of Jannah. The second level, يسقون. The angels will give them the drink. The third level, وسقاهم ربهم شرابا طهورا. Allah says, directly I will feed them. We don't visualize this because Allah is beyond our comprehension. Directly, can you imagine that level, that ecstasy, that euphoric moment that would happen? لا يصدعون, they won't have a headache. ولا ينزفون, they will not be drunk. وفاكهة مما يتخيرون, fruit of your choice. لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة, not restricted to a season, and any amount you want to take. طَلْحٍ مَنْذُود, bananas one upon another. مَاءٍ مَسْكُوب, water flowing. فَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرًا. إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً. We then created the damsels of paradise. عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا, lovable by nature. أَتْرَابًا, equal age. خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَان, خَيْرَاتُ الْأَخْلَاقِ حِسَانُ الْوُجُوهِ, striking in their appearance, impressive in their character. لَمْ يَتْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. No human has deflowered them. No human has touched them. So she says, I asked Allah for talh. I asked Allah for banana. So Allah gave me, the little girl is telling me, her name was Sumaya. Allah gave me a banana. It was so bright that I could feed everybody who was around me. I said, Subhanallah. In the commentary of this ayah, in the 11 juz in Surah Yunus, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Every person has a different ecstasy in worship. In my humble years, nothing has given me a greater fulfillment than to read the Quran and understand. And really, I haven't understood the Quran. When you see those that have understood, you would realize that you don't. But somewhat, in some capacity, in a small form, shape or size, yeah. The ecstasy and the feeling of getting a direct communication and understanding, it's just beyond words. Take out time, my brother. When I seen this father there, sitting with his kids there, and the kids were around him, and I said, he's memorized the Quran. And he said, Sheikh, do you know what's more amazing? I'm like, tell me. His wife is a revert, and she's the one that cajoled him, and inspired him, and motivated him, and said, cut down on your hours, and we can juggle, but memorize the Quran. take a legacy with my brother, take a legacy with you. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. Man will be reminded of what he achieved in this world and what he left behind. So anyway, the little boy Yusuf has a dream. What is his dream? Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi had once mentioned in one of his discourses, a person came to me and he had a dream and he asked me for the interpretation only to inform him that this dream meant you are making zina in Medina. He came to me innocently and honestly and he said, this is my dream. And I told him, you know what, I need to talk to you seriously and privately and discreetly. I'm afraid the indications and the insinuations in this vision is rather catastrophic. It's serious, it's haunting, it's frightening, it's scary. This is the message I'm getting. This is the message I'm getting and this is what I'm picking up from this dream. So the young boy has a dream. What's the dream? رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. I see these 11 stars, the sun and this moon prostrating to me. So he runs up to his dad. Dad, I had this dream. لَقَدْ عَرَفَ أَبُوهُ أَنَّهُ سَيَنَالُ مَنْزِلَةً عَالِيَةً وَرِفْعَةً عَظِيمَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Yaqub alayhi salam, by his skill, by his nabuwat, by his vision, by his understanding, he realized this is a great human in the making. Now look at the beautiful deduction that the Mufassirin make. May Allah reward them handsomely. He sounds a word of caution to his son. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. Oh my son, don't divulge this dream of yours to your brothers, lest they plot against you. Allama Qurtubi says, he cautioned his brother, he cautioned his son against his siblings. And he didn't tell his son, take precautions against me. لأن الرجل يود أن يكون ولده خيرا منه والأخ لا يود ذلك لأخيه. Because a father desires that his son must excel him, but the same cannot be necessarily said for your fellow sibling. A father wishes, good luck my son, oh I'm so happy to see what Allah has given, may Allah take you even forward. But when it comes to your brothers, I don't know if they're going to share the same sentiments, or this might breed discord and bickering and rancor and hatred and malice and antagonism within them. So take your precautions, take your precautions. But as the Arabic poet says, إِنَّ الْحَذْرَ لَا يَدْفَعُ الْقَدْرَ. Precautions cannot change destiny. It's important, it's imperative, it is necessary, we should. But it cannot adjust or temper or change what Allah has ordained. And fate had it, destiny had it, the little boy innocently, naively slips up and he says, hey my brothers, you know what? What? I had this amazing dream. There the tale takes a different turn. But what is meant to happen, this happens. And this is again, we learn from the teachings as we progress and we draw analogies and we draw, you know, anecdotal advice from this year. That when a thing has occurred, now move on, not to dwell on this. So, what happens to the brothers? They start creating this jealousy within them. The ulama tell us, jealousy by its nature is intrinsic. It's inherent, it's inborn in every human. It is part of every human's life. And the best example that they give, apart from the incident of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, is when Sayyidina Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, during the occasion of Tabuk, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam marched for Tabuk, and there were five groups. There was the group of Sahaba that responded immediately. There was a group that were initially hesitant but subsequently participated. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They were hesitant, they were apprehensive, but subsequently they participated as well. Then there was a third group, and these were the Munafiqeen. They didn't participate. The likes of Jud bin Qais, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أُذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي. He said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't want to come because the Roman army, the women are very beautiful. So I might come there and have, you know, negative energy. I might come there and I might fall a victim and I might be attracted instead of adding value to the ranks of the Muslims. أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. The Quran says your absence and your aversion from a prophetic decree is no less a fitna. Your aversion, your non-compliance is already a fitna. So where's the logic? Where's the logic? A person is pursuing an illicit relation. He said, oh, my wife, you know what, she's gone old and she gave birth and so much. But a woman is having an illicit relation but has more kids than his wife. I'm not saying if there's less kids, it's right. أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ That's the third category. Then there was the fourth category. And these were the Sahaba who didn't have any means. They just didn't have the financial muscle. They didn't have the economic clout. They didn't have the stability. So they were turned down purely because they didn't have what it takes to participate. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ There's no blame, there's no consequences, there's no reproach on those that don't have. They don't have. However, the Quran profiles their regret. This is amazing. You say, no, I don't have, I came late for Salah, Salah was over. But I'm like more happy that Salah was over. The Quran explains their regret. They are so sad and remorseful and hurting within that tears are welling up in their eyes and they are tearing uncontrollably that they don't own what it have to participate and spend in the path of Allah. And then there was a group of 10 other Sahaba who did not participate, they didn't have any valid excuse. And here again the Mufassirin make a very, very intricate deduction. And please, I beg of your undivided attention, it's very intricate, but it gives off a great message. So these were genuine, devout, honest, sincere Sahaba. However, they fell short in participating in Tabuk. And the scholars say that after Allah wrapped up the tale of Tabuk, Allah told the believers, sit with the pious, which is a subtle indication that their lack of participation was due to assimilation and sitting close with the munafiqeen and evil company. So when we sit with company, we draw values from them. We draw habits from them. We take ideas from them. As they say, show me a man's friends and I will tell you his habits. Tell me his social circle and I'll tell you his habits. I'll tell you his inclinations and his likes and his dislikes. Associate and assimilate with the pious. Because definitely that would have a profound impact. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ That's what Allah brought in the end. So these were genuine, honest, sincere Sahaba, 10 of them. Among them was Ka'b radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet ﷺ got to Tabuk, he said, I don't see Ka'b bin Malik ma fa'ala Ka'b ibn Malik. Now, the scholars tell us, when the Nabi of Allah posed this question, the person who responded was a man from his own tribe. And he didn't respond with pleasant sentiments. He said, O Nabi of Allah, that family member, leave him, man. He's gone too proud and he's got too impressed with his dress and he's blown away with his wealth and his affluence. حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ حَبَسَهُ بُرْدَاهُ وَالنَّضْرُ فِي عِتْفَيْهِ He's now a man of fine dress. He's a man of exclusive choice. He's got this exquisite likes in him. So, O Nabi of Allah, that is where his interests are. So, rather move on. The scholars say that the negative sentiment was only echoed by a family member. Hence, this is the unfortunate pattern of life that within our own circles, we are going to find these comments. The Arabic poet said, وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ أَسْمَعُ تَوَرَّعْتُ أَنْ أَغْتَابَهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ وَمَا هُوَ إِذْ يَغْتَابُنِي مُتَوَرِّعُ A sign of a jealous person on a neutral context, he will speak ill of you in your absence, and he will laud you and extol your praises in your presence. You, my brother, without you, this whole masjid will collapse. This whole organization is running for you, and he walks away, he's got an attitude. This man thinks he's running the whole ummah. He thinks he's running the whole ummah. وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ When he knows I am listening, or he knows my cronies are listening, then he starts praising me so those sentiments can be filtered through. That's the sign of a munafiq. And behind my back in closed doors where there's no cameras, there he goes out for me, he goes for the jugular. تَوَرَّعْتُ أَنْ أَغْتَابَهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ But tell him I will not stoop so low and reciprocate such mean behavior. I will not stoop so low and reciprocate such behavior. That's mean, that's low, that's not becoming of a believer. وما هو إذ يغتابني متورع. But look at the makeup of Sahaba. Look at the beauty of that community. While this individual made these remarks, and he was a human from amongst humans, and Sahaba are all forgiven. We don't harbor negativity against any Sahabi. Neither do we say Sahaba are sinless. Let's be objective. Sahaba are humans, they can err. However, the Quran had categorically, explicitly, unequivocally made it clear that Allah has forgiven them all. You would find in the entire Quran where Allah reproaches them, close on to that, Allah Ta'ala then compliments them. إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا. Oh my word. Again I'm saying, connect yourself to the Quran. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Remember when you were leaving for Uhud, and two groups amongst you, they were on the verge of deserting you. But then we rescued them. And we guided them because we are their guardian. So these groups amongst the Sahaba, they became a bit hesitant, uneasy, reluctant. They used to say, while Allah reproached us that we wanted to backtrack, but coupled with that, Allah said they will never reproach because I was protecting them. Wallahu waliyuhuma. So look at the lofty nature of the acknowledgement and the accolade that the Quran confers upon them. Be it as it may, when this comment was passed, another Sahabi from within the ranks, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said, brother, we don't take those words, we don't like it. It's not in good taste. O Nabi of Allah, I beg to differ. Now, if I'm sitting and somebody makes nasty remarks, Jazakallah, I thought I was the only one who thought like that. Jazakallah. So, in other words, I endorse and I feel good that somebody else shares my negative sentiments of my brother. Mu'adh ibn Jabal cut him in his tracks and he said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ. That's unpleasant words. It's in bad taste. وَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا. O Nabi of Allah, I'm not in a capacity to explain his absence today. But the man is a good individual. He's a noble person. So what did the brother say when Yusuf reveals the dream? Now they start looking at the actions of the dad. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Oh man, our dad is silly. Our dad is foolish. Our dad is naive. Today, how many a youth are not chanting the same slogan? In English, they say, by the time you realize your dad was correct, unfortunately, you have a youngster in your house who thinks you are incorrect. By the time you realize, hey, the old man knew what he was saying, man. Oh, my old man, he was, you know, on the dot. Today we cry, now I think of what my old man said. By the time you realize your son is looking you in your eyes, but dad, why and how? Honestly, I say to people, I have nothing, but if I can summarize, whatever Allah has given me is the blessings and the mercy and the du'as of my parents. It's the quickest formula to expedite your growth. It's the quickest and the safest formula to expedite your economic, spiritual, social growth and advancement, where you know you are going to win at every level, is take the blessings and the du'as, the happiness and the joys of your parents. Unfortunately, what did these youngsters say? Inna abana lafi dalalim mubin. Our dad is foolish, he's naive, he's dry, he doesn't understand how life happens. He doesn't understand. So now, this jealousy is building within them. The scholars tell us three crimes are serious. Every crime is serious. No crime is trivial, but three amongst others. Jealousy, lust, and anger. When a man is moving with anger, when a youngster is brimming with lust, and a person has jealousy within him, then he's almost stripped of his human sentiments. That evil within him, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Ainu Haqqun, the eye is a reality. When a person has jealousy within him and he looks at you, in fact the kuffar had certain individuals whose eye would give off such venom, would give off such poison, that it would literally drop a moving and an active camel. And again I'm going to reference the Quran, and I hope and I will cry and I will beg, and I've said it throughout my travels across the globe, and sometimes I get positive feedback and I hope, connect yourself, change your direction, my brother. Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi said, the aim is not to end the Quran, the aim is to end your life in the Quran. You say, I'm 35, I'm 42, if I start now, when will I end? But that's the problem, the aim is not to end. The aim is not to end. The aim is to be connected with the sciences to change and reform, appreciate and change the lives of those around you. That's the aim. It's not a matter of having a diploma or a degree or speaking at a workshop or mobilizing numbers. وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ وَإِن يَكَادُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. See what's mentioned under this ayah. In here is in the meaning of inna. Kad on the verge. لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ. They actually brought this person with this wicked eye and they stood him before the Nabi of Allah and they said, cast that nasty wicked glances on this man and drop him down. So the kuffar left no stone unturned in trying to cause pain, to the extent that they also deployed or employed the so-called people with wicked eyes to cause the Nabi of Allah to collapse. But surely he was in the care and the custody and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. And al-iyadu billah, they say that he is insane. وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is nothing but a reminder and a reflection of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jealousy, lust and anger, it is catastrophic. The thing that made the devil, that made him not prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, مَمْتَنَعَ إِبْلِيسُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ لِآدَمْ إِلَّا حَسَدْ. Why did he refuse to prostrate? Jealousy, because he is superior. That which provoked and incited Qabil to kill his brother Habil over a woman, over a woman. We talk of the pagan Arab, that they would have a skirmish, an altercation, and it will then progress to an active battle, because the animal of one tribe would graze in the meadow of another. Today we know difference when it comes to road rage or parking. When it comes to the masjid, brother, come forward. We'll backstep and give someone place here. But it comes to one bay at the mall, we will withdraw and unsheath our swords also. And ironically, there will be 10 bays, two places away. 10 empty bays. But no, I came first here, I'll show my muscle, you'll show your muscle. I'll show my clout, you'll show your clout. I'll show my strength, you'll show your strength. And when it comes to salah, anybody can come forward. Why? Because we haven't valued the virtue and the merit and the significance of the first serve. So what do the brothers feel now? This jealousy is within. It's eating, it's killing. You haven't contained this malady. You haven't suppressed this malady within you. So it now goes to a level that they decide, اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا. Just imagine, these are the descendants of a Nabi. These are not the children of a scholar. These are not the children of a pious person. These are the direct descendants of a Nabi. But this is how evil jealousy is. This is how evil jealousy is. When Ahnaf ibn Qais said, we came back from Iraq, and in that we brought the spoils of the war, and we brought some delicacies, and I presented it to Sayyidina Umar, and he tasted it, and he said, oh, this is too tasty, keep Umar free of this. This is too tasty, keep Umar free of it. So we said, what do you mean it's too tasty, keep you free? He said, لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَى هَذَا الطَّعَامُ. I don't know if you have the muscle to digest what I'm going to tell you. We said, no, tell us. He said, I foresee such a bleak period in this ummah that a brother would openly kill his sibling and a son will openly murder his father to lay his hands on privileges like this. Why do you want me to start this? Give it to someone else. I don't want to tarnish and soil myself with this here. لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَى هَذَا الطَّعَامُ. So what they say, let's kill our brother. اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ أَوِطْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. Or then let's, you know what, we can drop him in some remote and distant land. Now look at the irony of the whole thing. Once we move him out of the equation, we have the undivided attention of our father. And then our father's du'as will be with us. أَرَادُوا إِقْبَالَ أَبِيهِمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. No, I'm just doing this and everything. I want to go for Umrah, Shaykh. So you want to go for Umrah, you cheat, you corrupt, you distort, you fabricate, you lie, you implicate, you do everything. How do you justify and condone it? And then, to add salt to injury, وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. This is the nature of the devil. We'll do all this year, and after that, inshallah, we will repent. Juma is coming close. Ramadan is there, brother. The ulama say there is advanced virtue. There's no advanced tawbah. Advanced tawbah is preparing to orchestrate a crime. You can do a virtue in advance. وَلَوْ عَجَّلَ ذُو نِسَابٍ لِسِنِينَ صَحَّ. It's the narration of Nur al-Ida. A person can give zakat in advance. He can give 5 years zakat, but each year he will have to do a calculation to see that the figures balance out. But that in principle, jurisprudently, there is proof for that. There is room for that year. But you can't make, you know what, December, I don't trust myself, I'm starting tawbah from now. Come Saturday night, I got a bad habit, Ya Allah, Juma, I'm going to read extra Yasin and more Surah Kahf. Allah, Saturday, Allah, you know best. أَمَّا التَّوْبَةُ الَّتِي تُعَدُّ سَلَفًا فَهِيَ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ الذَّمْبِ. That advanced tawbah, نَوْعٌ مِّنَ الْمَكْرِ الَّذِي يُزَيِّنُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's nothing more than a devilish trick. He's putting wool over your eyes and you appeasing yourself. No, I made tawbah. You know what? I know tomorrow I'm going to do wrong, but at least I'm better than you. I made ibadah. No, my brother. That is nothing but the deception of the devil. The ulama tell us, tawbah happens after a crime and not before a crime. And by the way, on the word tawbah, Abu Bakr al-Waraq has mentioned so beautifully in Madarik al-Tanzeel, when he speaks about these sahaba, the three sahaba amongst the 10 that did not participate in Tabuk. There were 10, but 7 had made tawbah initially, and the 3 made the tawbah subsequently. So regarding the 3 who made tawbah, the Quran says, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. That when they were going through this mistake of theirs, the land became narrow upon them. Their heart became narrow upon them. لَا يَسَعُهَا أُنْسٌ وَلَا سُرُورٌ. In that entire 50 days, not one moment did they feel happy. They lost taste in food, they lost taste in clothing, they lost taste in the environment. Tawbah should be such that when you are at war with your Allah, you lose pleasure in life. You know, I'm feeling bad, I'm enjoying the best meal, I'm sleeping the best, I'm feeling bad, I just want to go for a holiday, I did so much wrong. It's an anti-climax, it's having a reverse effect. Where is my tawbah, where is the sincerity? وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ الْأَصْلُ فِي التَّوْبَةِ أَن تَضِيقَ عَلَى التَّائِبِ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. He said that the land must narrow upon you. You lose taste and pleasure. When a person had a financial implication or he had a loss in the family, it's apparent from his body language. He's in a down, he's depressed. But when I've sinned, it's for a moment little and then we move on. May Allah protect us. So now they come to the father. Just look at how. Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi has said, the worst consequences of one sin is, apart from the punishment is, that it draws you closer to the next sin. And the greatest benefit of the virtue is, apart from the reward is, it brings you closer to another virtue. That is it. If you develop the habit of sleeping with wudu, one day inshallah you will offer 2 rakats of prayer and then you will sleep. If you develop the habit of charity, one day it will go to a greater level. So the greatest virtue or the greatest merit or the greatest benefit of obedience is, it propels you. It accelerates you. It pushes you to a greater level of compliance. And Allah forbid, the negative implies when it comes to the opposite, when it comes to vice, it draws you closer and closer towards the sin. Before you realize, like in English they say, every time you succumb to a vice, you get temporary relief, but the vice gets a tighter grip around you. Every time you succumb, momentarily you feel at ease, you feel relaxed because you have vented, you took comfort, you took shelter in that porn, you took shelter in that relation, you took shelter in that club, you took shelter in that pub, you took shelter in that machine, you took shelter in that, whatever it is. But ultimately, and ask any person who is on any crime, he will tell you this, and this is irrefutable. Before he commences the crime, he is in a depression which takes him to that. And for the moment, the depression is lifted for that time. But after he perpetrates the offense, the depression is 10 times greater than before he started. That is the reality of it, and that the Quran mentions about it as well. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. The devil says, go, do the wrong, commit the zina, I'm with you all the way. And you feel this moral support around you. فَلَمَّا كَفَرْ. But as soon as you do the wrong, the devil just runs and disappears into thin air. Now you feel this vacuum, you feel this low moment, you feel this down and dry. Where am I? And it's like I'm alone in this whole world. I'm lost. And now again the devil whispers, listen, if you're ready to do it again, I'm coming with you. And in the crave of getting that feeling, you do it again, and it's a vicious circle and it never ends. So what do? They come to the father. Ya Abana ma laka la ta'amanna. Imam Ghazali has written, many a times the devil has an intention to make a person commit a crime. But due to his noble personality, he will not embrace an offense. So the devil actually takes him in a virtue with a long plan from that virtue to divert him into vice. He's given great examples of that, how the long-term effort of a devil. May Allah protect us. A person today can contract a virus with such a rare case. You say, but then how do you fortify yourself? How do you insulate yourself? How do you protect yourself? Well, you got to take this measure, that measure, take immune boosters. You got to, you know what, quarantine a person who has, there's so many things, just coming into contact at some rare occasion, there can be a transmission of a virus. When Salma ibn Dinar was sitting by Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik said, you know, you're such an amazing man, give us more advice, give us more advice. He said, إِن كُنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِسْتِجَابَ فَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَكَ مَا فِيهِ الْكِفَايَةِ. My brother, if you're a man who heeds advice, that in your life adequate has been told to you. And if you're a man who doesn't heed advice, then why should I be releasing my arrow when I'm not hitting targets? He said, no, sit with us more. He said, أَخْشَى أَنْ أَرْكَنَ إِلَيْكُمْ قَلِيلًا. I'm afraid if I'm going to sit any longer here, negativity is rubbing on to me more than I can give off positive energy. These were the pious people. So then he said to him, okay, ارفع إلينا حاجتك نقضها لك مهما كانت. Make a request and consider it approved. Now that card you can flash to, you know, people who don't have their focus in line. May Allah protect and guide one and all. So he was unimpressed. He wasn't moved. He wasn't blown away. He said, listen, oh Salma, I mean what I say. Make a request and it's done. He said, حاجتي أن تدخلني النار. حاجتي أن تدخلني الجنة وتنقذني من النار. Well, my request is simple. Secure my entry into paradise and just protect me from hell. He said, no, I'm sorry. I'm talking of material needs. He says, material needs, I haven't even requested it from the one who owns it. Why should I ask it from those who don't own it? I haven't even asked it from the one. مَا سَأَلْتُ مِمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ. The Allah who owns the world, I don't waste my du'as on that. I use it more objectively. When the Nabi of Allah told Sayyidina Umar, if you meet Uwais Qarni, this is the night, ask Allah for forgiveness. What's prime? What's ideal? What's the greatest? What do I need? I need forgiveness, my brother. I need forgiveness. And we know, disobedience to parents, catastrophic. Abdullah bin Mubarak said, I came to Makkah. I was performing tawaf. أعجبني كثرة الحجاج والمعتمرين. I seen the scores and multitudes of people that had converged and congregated. The desire came within me. من المقبول منهم فأهنئه ومن المردود منهم فأعزيه. Ya Allah, I wish who I know whose Hajj has been accepted. At least I can congratulate him. And I wonder whose has been rejected. I can console him and tell him to start afresh. Anyway, that was it, and I went to sleep. These were the whispers within the pious. These things don't even feature in our life. I went to sleep that night, and in a dream it was told to me, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah has pardoned everyone, الصَّغِيرَ وَالْكَبِيرَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى, young and old, male and female, إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا, but one person's Hajj has been rejected. I got up with a fright, فَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا. I said, Ya Allah, lo and behold, I just hope that's not me. If I get up, no, one out of a million, that can't be me. That I know, man. I know. How many times I dreamt I was in Jannah? How many times? And like people latch onto flimsy things. Sayyidina Umar didn't have a dream. My Nabi told him, Umar, you will be with me in Jannah. And then he used to watch Huzaifa ibn Yaman. When a funeral came, if Huzaifa attended, that means it wasn't a munafiq. And if Huzaifa shied away, he would shied away. Maybe the man was a munafiq. So in the morning I got up, I said, Ya Allah, and whole day it's bothering me. One man's Hajj is not accepted. Is this going to be me? Is this going to be me? I went to sleep that night. A dream I had that night. I was reading now yesterday while I was flying in the plane. Abdullah bin Mubarak, Shaqiq Balkhi, and Ibrahim bin Adham. These are known to be sages of the age. These are known to be saints. But each one of them respectively, the youth was a life of music, woman, wrong and vice. But at some point a call came and they changed and they atoned for that mishap in their life. That it actually erased that negative traits that till today they identified only with virtue. I myself was surprised to discover that Abdullah bin Mubarak had a dark life. I only knew him to be this great scholar of Islam, only to know that his youth was in vice. And one day awakening call came, and may that call be for me and you tonight, my brother. I slept that night, and in that night I was told, Abdullah, oh, Malik bin Dinar, it's not you, it's not you. It's a man from Balkh by the name of Muhammad bin Harun from Balkh. I got up in great panic. I sighed with relief that I'm not the man, but I was equally concerned that it was someone else. These were the ummah that felt the pain. You felt for everyone. I often say this here, you are serving on a board of a school or a trust or a masjid, as long as you have children or nephews or grandchildren, and you resign the day your family has left. Forgive me if I'm crude, and forgive me if I'm tramping your toes, if I'm brutal or I'm harsh. But then you are not serving the ummah, you are serving your private interests. When you continue and you don't have a family member, then you're an ambassador of this ummah. Then you're an ambassador of this ummah. My child, a society grows great when they plant trees, knowing very well that they won't live to sit in the shade of those trees. It's an English proverb. A society grows great. Plant a seed today. A tree will grow. Some old man will pass by. Some young boy will have his break here. Think long. Be visionary. Don't be narrow and selfish. Be selfless. Abu Zayd said, I met one man. We were performing tawaf. And he said, مَا تَعُدُّونَ الزُّهْدَ فِيكُمْ. What's the definition of disinclination and zuhud? I said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we eat. When we don't have, we persevere. He said, okay, that's the definition of piety by you. هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ. Our dogs and your pious people are on the same level. Our dogs and your one level. When they got, they eat. When they don't have, they keep quiet. So I said, then, okay. I said, okay, then what's the issue? What is piety by you? What's your yardstick? He said, our yardstick is إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When Allah gives us, we pass it on to others. And when we don't have, we join those that never had. I got up in the morning. I said, I'm looking for the Khurasan tribe. They said, yes. I said, who are you looking for in particular? I'm looking for this man by this name. Oh, تَسْعَلْ عَنْ رَجُلٍ. You're asking about a man, لَيْسَ فِيهِ أَعْبَدْ وَلَا أَزْهَدْ. You're not going to find a more noble man. I was even more disturbed to say, this is what I dreamt, this is what people are saying. Anyway, I come from the rear, فَإِذَا هُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. He's offering prayer. I took his consent and I inched forward. Who are you, brother? I am Malik bin Dinar. What brings you at this odd hour? Really, brother, I don't know how to say it, but I have to say it. How do I break the news to you? It's always tough to be the bearer of bad news. To break good news is not easy. It's a daunting task. Now go for it, my brother. I'm afraid I had a dream. And in the dream, I was told everybody's hajj is accepted but one person. I slept by the night fearing it was me, only to be told that I am not the individual. And then I was referred and referenced to a person. And his name was so and so. And then people directed me to you. Are we talking of the same individual? He said, yes, indeed. He then started crying. And he says, oh, Malik bin Dinar, this is not the first time a dream of this nature has been seen by someone. This has been going year in and year out. It was the last night of Shaban. It was the first night of Ramadan. I was high out of my alcohol. I was high out of my drinking habit. I came back home late by night. My mother said to me, هذه آخر ليلة من شعبان أول ليلة من رمضان. My son, the last night of Shaban. Even the wicked, even the sinful, even the evil abandon their wrong. Everybody leaves their thing for this great month. In that fit and that high, I slapped my mum. I slapped her so hard, the furnace was burning. My mother fell there and she burnt in front of me. I had no feeling. I had no... When I came out of my high level and I became sober, and then I realized this is what had happened. A good 40 years has passed, Malik. I'm making hajj every year. And every year, pious man has this dream. But tell me which other door I can go to that I can change my direction. Malik bin Dinar said, I pitied the man, I cried to Allah. I said, Allah, you forgive him. And then I had a dream in telling him that he must continue making dua and we will forgive him, inshallah. So I'm saying to you, my brother, we are in this great moment. It is when the Nabi of Allah told Sayyidina Umar, when you meet Uwais Qarni, he is mustajab al-da'wah. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Arrange, tell him to make this dua, tell him to make that. His duas are accepted. Umar, make sure in that little brief meeting, quickly you get him to make dua that Allah forgives you. That's priority. That's priority. Get him to make this dua. In istata'ata an yaf'al. If you meet him, ya'ti alaykum rajulum min uway, ya'ti alaykum rajulum min al-Yaman. Min Murad, thumma min Qarn, from the Murad branch and the Qarn tribe, and he had leprosy on his whole body. And Ibn Asakir, in the 9th volume I read myself, he had leprosy, Allah cured him, but the size of one dirham. That's the narration of Muslim Sharif. But the narration of Ibn Asakir I read and I was blown away when I read this. That little trace of leprosy that was left on his body was not by circumstances. He asked Allah, Allah, don't cure me in totality. Leave a trace of my previous condition so I can be reminded of your favor daily. But can you imagine, Allah, leave a portion of my cancer so I can think. It just doesn't gel with our logic. It just doesn't feature in our vocabulary. So anyway, they come to Sayyidina Yaqub. Ya Abana, malaka la ta'amanna ala Yusuf, wa inna lahu lanasihun. Dad, release him. Let him come with us. أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب. We'll have a party, we'll have recreation, we'll have quality time. Yaqub alayhi salam, hesitant, reluctant, uneasy, do I, don't I, should I, shouldn't I? Somewhat he hugs, embraces, kisses, and then he gradually puts him there. Allah alone knows what a painful moment, how he separated. They pick up the little boy, they kiss him, the narration of Ibn Kathir. قَبَّلَهُ ضَمَّهُ, they hold him. فَمَا أَنْ تَوَارَى أَنْ أَعْيُنِ أَبِيهِمْ. As soon as the father is out of sight, they drop him and they start kicking him. These are the direct descendants of a Nabi, because this is what jealousy does to an individual. May Allah protect us. They kick him. My brothers, but you just told my dad, well, what's this all about? No, go call your 11 star sun and moon. Don't talk to us. Great visions, great futures, great aspirations. And then they come to this place and they stand by this well. And what do they do? As they all plot together, وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. Again, my pain and my concern, if you could appreciate this in its profound nature of the Arabic language. They have a meeting, they decide, the innocent boy is crying, he's a child, his mum is late. By the way, his mum is late. Binyamin and him, they were uterine brothers sharing a common mother. With the other brothers, they shared a common father, not the same mother. They stood by the well, the child is pleading and begging and imploring, but to no avail on dead ears. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They decide, we're going to drop him and let him die and let us end his tale. And as they drop him and he goes deep down and he falls into the depth of that well, the Quran said, we inspired him. And Qurtubi says, this ayah is a loud indication and a testimony to the academic argument of the permissibility of revelation on a junior as well. It's academic, but those who can appreciate it will know and identify with what I'm saying. While other scholars say it was an inspiration and not the academic revelation. قال الشوكاني هذه الآية دليل على أنه يجوز أن يوحي الله إلى من كان صغيرا. Oh, Yusuf, persevere. We're watching, we're monitoring, we're observing. But that's a pattern of life. And that's how great people are molded. And that is how they are groomed. In English, they say, in life, either you face discipline or then disappointment. Either you are disciplined or disappointed. And the Anbiya were disciplined by Allah. A person in the company of a scholar or a mentor is groomed and molded. But a young child who's got his wings flying and arrogance from day one, and nobody clipped his wings, others will be quiet because he's the boss's child. He's this one. If I open my mouth, my job is in jeopardy. But that tongue will land him in major problems. That attitude, that arrogance will bring him down. That's the system of life. The hadith of Bukhari, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي, a young boy, flamboyant, colorful, brazen, blatant, clad up beautifully, flashy, تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُ. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he was impressed by how he looked. He was impressed by how he looked. He was feeling an air about himself. Allah just ordered the earth to cave and he went down and that was the end of his tale. That was the end of his tale. Him, his clothing, his conveyance, his car, his embellishment, whatever he had. تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُ Impressed by himself. Pride, arrogance. لَا تَمْشِ عَلَى مَنْكَ بِالْأَرْضِ فَاخِرًا فَعَمَّا قَلِيلٍ يَحْتَوِيكَ تُرَابُهَا Don't flex your muscle of arrogance on this earth. The soil will rapidly swallow you. It will swallow you, my brother, and it will swallow me. Allah alone knows where I will sleep and where you will sleep. We beg Allah to give us a noble death and an enviable death. Make that dua. I had a beautiful write-up from one person. I tweeted it and I had made this dua and wanted some positive feedback. They said, Sheikh, when you made this prayer, I thought to myself, a good death. Like, can there be a good death? Now, like 3 weeks ago, we were in Umrah, and my wife was with me, and we, because of all the work, and we were walking around, and as we were taking a walk after the Umrah, we seen the bodies coming in, and I paused for a moment, and tears came up in my eyes, and I said to her, but this is the time where you envy a person you never met, you never seen, you never know, you don't know if it's male or female, and the corpse is lying here, and you green with envy that, my brother, just see where your prayer has been performed. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. If you envy, you know his skill, you know his name, you know his identity, you know things about him, you know things about him. But to see a body lying there, my word, what an envy. Where will I die, my Allah, and how will I die? Does it feature in my dua? Every day, study the lives of the pious. I have seen this common thread in my humble research, interacting with those that are pious and those that have moved on. It featured every day, Allah, let me die a good death. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, when people used to say, condemn him, criticize him, he said, the numbers at the janazah will speak up who is close to Allah. You know what authority you need to have to say that? You know what relation you need to have to say that? In Badr, when the Nabi of Allah was crying, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسُ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُم بِهِ Everybody had a moment of slumber that overpowered them. But the Nabi of Allah, because of his dua, some say he was included for that moment, others say he was in intense dua. Abu Bakr said, O Nabi of Allah, you've made so much dua, I think it's done, it's done. But look at the relation the Nabi of Allah had with Allah. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhihi al-hisaba. Allah, if this group is annihilated, then who's going to say Allah tomorrow? Allah, if this group is annihilated, who's going to say Allah tomorrow? There was a bond with Allah. There was a relation with Allah. Amir ibn Abdullah Tamimi, khalaqtani bi amrik wa aqamtani fi balaya hadhihi ad-dunya bi mashi'atik. ثم قلت لي استمسك ولكن كيف استمسك إن لم تمسكني Oh my Lord, you created me by your choice, not because of my request. Then you filled me with desires as you fashioned me and created me, not because I said it. And then you surrounded me with temptations because that's the pattern of life. And then you told me to restrain myself. I'm just asking you, if you're not going to help me, how am I going to achieve this? Like, whoa! What a dialogue with Allah! Allah, you've created me, you've put me around, there's temptations, there's challenges, there's emotions, there's fluctuations, there's so much happening. And you told me, look after yourself, control, restrain, behave, don't do this. Allah, illam. As Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said, when the woman came and they invited, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنْ Oh my Allah, they are advancing towards me. And if you don't divert their ploy, I will succumb, I will surrender, my Allah. I will surrender. So anyway, they drop Sayyidina Yusuf in the well. The Arabic poet says, دَعِ الْأُمُورَ تَجْرِي فِي مَجَارِيهَا وَلَا تَبِيتَنَّ لَيْلَةً إِلَّا خَالِ الْبَالِ فَبَيْنَ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَإِنْقِبَاضِهَا يُغَيِّرُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَالٍ إِلَى حَالِ Let life happen, my brother. Don't lose trust in your Allah. Don't lose hope in your Allah. Get disillusioned with people. That is life. A short formula to success. Don't desire wealth or fame from anyone. Study our lives. Half our misery is because I want him to acknowledge me and I want him to do me a favor. That's half my problems. Just I don't want a favor from anyone and I don't want to run on the fame or the glory of anyone. I'm happy where my Allah has kept me. I'm happy where my Allah has kept me. And you'll see the peace in your life. دَعِ الْأُمُورِ Leave matters تَجْرِي فِي مَجَارِهَا Let life turn on the axis for which Allah has ordained it. ولا تبيتن ليلة, don't retire to bed depressed. ولا تبيتن ليلة إلا خالي البال فبين طرفة عين وانقباضها. When Allah ordains and decrees, then from the well Allah will put you on the throne. And if Allah ordains otherwise, sometimes a person loses his empire and then he has to grapple and he didn't have plan B, or he had plan B and even plan B backfired. And then you realize that he was flying on the stop bracket at optimum and all was going good. And when the crunch came and it hit on all fronts. May Allah keep us in his protection. A believer fears at every moment, may Allah can strike any time. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Why do they behave like they feel safe from my punishment? Tell them I can strike any time, only losers feel like that. How long a young man abuses his youth, abuses his strength, and he forgets that Allah is watching him, Allah is in control over him. When strength gets to a person, muscle gets to a person, power gets to a person, then the nation of Ad said, who can be stronger than us? And who can have more pull than us? And Allah said, is it not simple or basic or obvious that Allah who gave you the strength has more strength? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا فِي أَيَّامٍ نَحِسَاتٍ لِنُذِيقَهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْي فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى. That's only the world. We got great punishment in Akhira. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Whatever torment came in this world, that's the beginning of much greater coming. وَإِن مِّن قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا نَحْنُ مُهْلِكُوهَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Quran is brimming with it. The concluding verses of Surah Tabarak, I'm saying understand the message, understand the message. My dad, my venerable dad and my mother, may Allah reward them. Often I would walk home and they would say, "Bhai, beh jarakwar." Then I read this in Yasin, Manake, tell me what is this here? I read this, tell me today what is this here? And then I share it in my humble, basic, whatever, and I just see that how they appreciate it, how they appreciate it. We need to connect with the message of the Quran. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Say unto them, if I just shut the supply of water, I put a hole from the skies, and I block access from the earth. Ask them, with what audacity, what muscle, what power they got to provide water. So here comes Mr. Arrogant, here comes Mr. Proud, here comes Mr. Know-it-all. They say, bil fu'usi wal ma'awil, references in Jalalain. He said, with technology, we will reach to the depth of the earth and we will draw out the water. فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. Allah then dried up the water in his eye and he became blind on the spot. Arrogance with Allah, pride with Allah, Allah can strike. Allah can strike me, Allah can strike you, my brother. Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, the ulama say when we read that, how do I walk into my shop? How do I walk into my environment? What's my approach? The Quran said, those that are humble, before they speak, their walk will tell you they're humble. When you look at the man, his walk, you'll see his demeanor, his disposition, his behavior, the manner in which he conducts himself. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. They say two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything. Two things define you. Your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything. How do I walk? What's my position? Allah can strike at any time. Anyway, we told Sayyidina Yusuf, persevere. Now comes the tale to face the father. How do we face the dad and who puts the bell around the cap? So, the Quran says, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. What did Atta say? Study the tale of Yusuf and you will realize your life is nothing, your problems are nothing. It's absolutely nothing. When I fly, I cry and I make dua because it gives me time. Like I mentioned, one brother told me, he said, Sheikh, some have attitude problems, you got an altitude problem. Open up your shutter and look into the air and you realize this whole massive A380 is a speck in the atmosphere. It's a speck. Read the capacity of fuel, read the passengers, read this amazing thing that's airborne. But in the greater atmosphere, it's a speck. If that's a speck, what am I? One great scholar said, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا. the world in its entirety, with its planets and its Milky Ways and its galaxies and everything, is not equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. If the entire world is not equal to a wing of a mosquito, then where's South Africa and where's Roshni and where's, well, what, Tadaville, and where's my house and where's my street and where's my 2x2? Where does it feature in the broader picture of the world? You realize that massive vessel that's floating on water, but in the greater waters, in the greater waves, it is a speck in the water. We are an absolute speck in the atmosphere at any time, if Allah ordains. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. You talk about the law of gravity and what keeps it afloat and what keeps it airborne. Allah says it is only Allah that keeps it airborne. Nothing else, nothing else. So anyway, they come to the Father in the night. The scholars tell us why they came by night, so that they could camouflage their crocodile tears. Because in the day they could be exposed. And what they come, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ, crying. علما قرطبي say هذه الآية دليل على أن بكاء المرء لا يدل على صدق مقاله لإحتماله أن يكون تصنعا. This ayah is a clear testimony that everybody that cries is not a victim. My dad, when I got married, he gave me two advices. Number one, don't ever lift your hand on your wife. And number two, don't necessarily be alarmed by her tears. I hope I've put that in correct context. Right? Because then my wife gets feedback. You heard what your husband said? Yeah. So I'm not saying ignore her tears. I said don't necessarily. You know, in fiqh, they talk of fawaid al-quyud. Fawaid al-quyud is academic. Anyway, don't necessarily be alarmed. At times you need to be alarmed. She's crying. There's a valid excuse. But everybody that cries is not a victim. Everybody that cries is not a victim. They came crying. Ya abana inna dhahabna nastabiqu wa tarakna Yusuf inda mata'ina. Oh dad, you won't believe exactly as you said, precisely. We left him and we were raising and a wolf came and he devoured him. And believe it or not, years the upper garment of Yusuf stained with the blood of the wolf. So Ibn Abbas said, ذَبَحُوا شَاتًا وَلَتَّخُوا قَمِيصَهُ بِدَمِ الشَّاتِ. They slaughtered a sheep, and then they took the upper garment of Yusuf, and they bleached it, and they colored it with the blood of this animal. And they brought it stained with the blood, with false blood. But a Nabi is a Nabi, he's got vision, he's got understanding. He looked at this shirt, and this dress, and this garment of his son Yusuf, and he said, oh, مَا أَحْلَمَ هَذَا الذِّئْبِ. What a neat job this wolf did. What a good job, man. Like opened it button by button. And then they realized we forgot to date. Okay. You know, one youngster told me, he said that we were going there and they said, only under 12s. So he said, me, I'm just going to say I'm under 12. So, what's your age? 11. When you born? go. Because he never calculated his date of birth to match the under 12 mark. All he did was, he said, I'll just say I'm 11 years and they let me go in. Say, okay, when you're born? Now he knows his original date, which makes him 15. And now when you ask him your date of birth, now, but you don't know your date of birth, then you know for yourself where you are. So what happened to that? Oh, what an intelligent. But now this is the message, my brother, and I want to try and just one, two incidents and try and inshallah, draw it to a culmination. This is a Nabi, and these are the teachings of life. When Yaqub alayhi salam heard this, now pause, reflect and introspect. He realized that this is a fabricated tale and he realized this is a test from Allah. A Nabi does not now lament the past. But I didn't want to send my Yusuf. But I said, but I told you people, oh, but why did I? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Listen my children, I'm convinced that's a blatant lie, that's a white lie. I don't want to delve into this anymore. My job now is not to question my Allah, but to make sabr, not just the common sabr, or the average sabr, or the regular sabr, but the branded sabr, in which I don't question or challenge my Allah in any way. And how am I going to achieve this? Allah, only you going to help me, because I don't know what are the days that lie ahead in this challenge. That's a Nabi. Now there's no going back, but I told you, but why, but how, but if, but no, that's it. Wallahu al-musta'an. And that reminds me of the painful tale of my mother Aisha radiallahu anha. When the leader of the munafiqeen gave momentum to this slander against her. Inna alladhi tawalla kibra, the one who orchestrated the chunk of the tail, and that was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. And it had caused enormous pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 1 month in the whole Medina, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's honorable, respected, venerable spouse, Aisha radiallahu anha, wal'iyadu billah, a million times and a billion times, had some unlawful illicit contact with Safwan bin Assal radiallahu anhu. And purely the backdrop of this was that they were coming from a journey and she had moved off the camel and then she went to relieve herself and attend to something, and the Nabi of Allah didn't realize she didn't mount back on and he got moving. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was young, I was small, I was petite, so the Nabi of Allah didn't realize it. A child hops on and then you know it, and some people hop on and you think few people came on. And then you know, I was sitting there in Dubai and I was having a tire, hopped off one leg, and I'm going, and here this guy is marching, you know, and he's really big and obese. And he said, I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. I said, hey, I needed some humor in my life, Allah, right time, man, you know. I sat there and I'm laughing to myself, sick man. I said, you know, this guy's like, hey, I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. I said, okay, whatever, you know better, my brother. They call it euphemism, that's it today. You need to be euphemistic, you see, you need to be euphemistic. Anyway, more serious talk. So Aisha radiallahu anha was light, she was petite, she was just too beautiful to imagine. The Nabi of Allah didn't realize and he took the camel and off they went. And then Safwan radiallahu anha came from the rear and, oh my Allah, this is the wife of Nabi alayhi salam. And I had seen her before hijab, and he topped the camel and she hopped on, and I turned my gaze and he brought her into Medina like this, ahead and she at the rear. And the devil, Munafiq, seen this and he exploited this. And then he started giving rumor and impetus to this allegation. And for 1 long month, can you imagine this test? Can you imagine this test? The hadith where the Nabi of Allah said, Musnad Ahmad, a test will come on a person. فَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي. Oh my Allah, this fitna is destroying me. Allah, this financial crisis is biting me. Allah, it's draining me. Allah, it's eating me. And then gradually after some time, he will come out. And just when he will sigh with relief, he will be gripped and seized and plagued by something even greater. And he will say, Allah, I thought you tested me to the best. Allah, but this is even greater. And the Nabi of Allah said, this is going to carry on and on till you meet your Allah. Till you meet your Allah. One after the other, you're just going to sigh with... Often when I cry to Allah in my du'as and I say, Allah, I'm making this du'a. And I say, Allah, I want it, but I'm sometimes even worried if this is solved. I don't know what lies ahead of me. So sometimes I'm thinking maybe I'm better off with the problem in which I am, because I know the pattern of life is this will clear up and the next one will follow. So you know best, Allah, what's going to follow. That this is, we've been shackled by it and there is no escapism from this. This is the brutal truth. So the 1 long month, and the verse in the 9 juz, لَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرُتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّءُ. If I knew the unseen, then no harm would have come to me. The scholars say this ayah also tells us that the Nabi of Allah did not know the unseen. Surely he was informed through wahi about certain things. But if he knew the unseen, he would openly refute this. Not that he entertained anything negative about Aisha radiallahu anha. But there was no divine exoneration of the status of Aisha for 1 month. So a month passed by, there was no divine intervention, back and forward, up and down, people are saying, Nabi Sassam's heart was absolutely pure, clean, he didn't think anything negative. After 1 month, he said, Aisha radiallahu anha down, he said, Aisha, we need to talk. We need to talk. This thing has now reached a very high level, and it has hurt too many people, we need to sit down. Look at the now can you imagine the sensitivity of this accusation, that the personalities involved, Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, and who Abdullah, you cannot possibly comprehend the gravity of this test. It's beyond my mind and your mind. You're not talking of ABC, you're talking of the paragon of Allah's creation. You're talking the noblest woman that ever put foot on planet Earth. The scholars debate if Aisha was greater or Khadija, from all the women and all the spouses. And they don't conclude, radiyallahu anhuma, because they say the accolades on either sides are so great that we can't make a decisive decision. Some say it was our mother Khadija radiyallahu anha, while others hold the view with our mother Aisha. But suffice to say, they both are in that great virtue and merit and status. Oh Aisha, qad balagani anki kada wa kada. Aisha, there's been some rumors going around. فَإِن كُنْتِ بَرِيئَ فَسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهِ. If you are innocent, then it's only a matter of time. Allah will prove your innocence. You don't have to worry. The Nabi of Allah started on the note of innocence. وَإِن كُنْتِ أَلْمَمْتِ بِذَنْبٍ. And if perchance there has been some whisper of evil, then if you confess your wrong and admit your guilt and you atone for it, Allah will surely forgive you. Aisha radiallahu anha says, وَكُنْتُ جَارِيَةً حَدِيثَ السِّنِ. I was a young girl. لَا أَقْرَأُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَثِيرًا. I had not even memorized extensive amount of the Qur'an. And I'm saying, Allah, but what are the people saying about me? Allah, what are they saying? Wallah, I have had, personally, I've seen this year, compliment a strange woman. For those that like it, they feel acknowledged, they feel complimented. And a woman who's modest and bashful, a compliment from a stranger, that is tantamount to death. It's tantamount to death. The food of one is the poison of another. I've had a sister who called, but I can't, but Allah, what did I do wrong? Allah, but why is a strange man praising me? Allah, I wasn't loose, I wasn't immoral, I didn't throw myself out. The hadith of Bukhari, when the Nabi of Allah said Sayyidina Ibrahim and his wife were traveling, and there was a tyrant in Egypt at that time, and he would abduct any man with his wife, so Ibrahim said to his wife, you are my sister, because if it was siblings, he wouldn't have that nasty intention. And then when the wife of Ibrahim came, she performed salah and wudu, and she said, أَحْسَنْتُ فَرْجِي إِلَّا عَلَى زَوْجِي. Allah, you know I've been loyal and faithful. I haven't given access to any man over my body but my husband. Allah, I'm not going to allow a tyrant to make advancements towards me. I'm not going to allow an immoral man to touch me. As she comes close, this man has evil intention. He stretches his hand out and his hand becomes paralyzed. I was giving a talk at a university. Somewhere in our country, I was invited there by the MSA, and they had a weekend and they had some other scholars. And I spoke about this, and I just have a flash some years ago. And in the audience, I seen a girl that was crying and she was sobbing. And after the talk, she asked the host if I can have a word with the Sheikh. And he asked me, and I said, that's fine. And then there were others there, and she just started crying. And I said, sister, what's this all about? And she says, but I marvel at the favor of Allah on this consort of Ibrahim. Yet the same did not apply to me. Somebody made advancements to me and actually deflowered me and violated me and betrayed me. And why wasn't this perpetrator held as that tyrant was held? And obviously it was sensitive because I needed to comfort her and console her. But at the same time, it was a reality check. It was a reality check. Do you match the profile of the wife of Abraham, my sister? Have you lived that dignity and morality? And I'm not saying otherwise. I gave her comfort. I told her, you're innocent. Allah knows best. You know, Allah will deal with the perpetrator. May Allah give you strength, counseling, encouragement, etc. But see how you're conducting yourself, how I'm conducting myself. What is my position? The man, Ya ukhti la tarfa'i anki al-khimara fatandami. Suni jamalaki in aratti karama. Anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the question. Aisha says, I was a young girl. I looked at my mom. I said, mom, talk. She says, my daughter, I would have represented you anywhere but before the Nabi of Allah. I looked at my dad. I said, dad, you talk. I said, my daughter Aisha, I love you to pieces, but not in front of the Nabi. I'm so sorry. I'm really between a rock and a hard place. She said, I had to come forward and muster the courage, and I had to speak up. And I said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ. Oh, my mother, may Allah's countless mercy descend on your blessed soul. May Allah say, Ameen, brothers. My mother is my mother, and your mother is your mother because she told you, and our mothers told us, and we don't doubt it. But Aisha is our mother because Allah told us. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The Nabi has a greater right over you than you have over yourself, and every spouse of his is your mother. وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. Hence you cannot wed the widows of Nabi alayhi salam after their demise because they are your mothers. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا. How dare you entertain that thought? You can see what's written on the commentary of that ayah, and that's the explanation I had given to you. She said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. You've been listening to this allegation. حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Until it has settled into the depth of your heart. وَلَئِنْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ. And if I have to tell you I'm innocent and Allah knows I'm innocent, you won't be happy to buy my innocence because it sounds very juicy to prove me guilty. Oh my words. Oh my words. I'm paraphrasing, right? It's not verbatim, but that's the essence. This was a girl that wasn't a girl. She was a giant. What a woman. What a woman. Aisha. And then I have these calls in you know, constantly people will just bog you, bother you, and inundate you with it. You know, what name can I give my daughter? Aisha. Yeah, but we got an Aisha in the family. Yeah, we got an Aisha in the family. There's so many rich people in the family. Yeah, but that's their money. If we only read these people, we need, I'm saying to people, and I want to say it again, we've lost our deen, and the only identity we live in today is a name. And if we lose that, then what's left? When the child travels, that passport and that name must be a loud reminder, I'm a Muslim. And if we blend that, and we disguise that, and we camouflage that, and we twist that, and we tamper with that, and we play with that, and we play with the lyrics and the tune, and we can change it, and it can be this and that, it can be this and that, and you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking, each person knows. Then tomorrow, what's left for the child to blend? It's gone and then finished, the trace is gone. But let it be loud, let it be clear. Muhammad is Muhammad, Ibrahim is Ibrahim, Aisha is Aisha. That is something we are innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamati bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. Ahsinu asma'akum. Have good names, because that's how you'll be identified. Wala in qultu lakum wala in i'taraftu bi dhanbin. And if I concede and I confess that I'm guilty, you will be happy, but Allah knows I'm not. Allah knows I'm not guilty. Wallahi la ajidu li wa lakum mathalan illa kama qala Abu Yusuf. I think I have to turn the pages of history and look at the tale of Yusuf's father. She said, I was so distraught, I couldn't even register Yusuf alayhi salam's father's name. So I couldn't even say Yaqub. So I said, Yusuf's father. I'm going to take solace from the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam's father. And I'm going to say, Fasabrun Jamil. Chapter close. I'm going to make sabr like how that man made sabr when his children lied to him. Allah knows best. I don't want to say anything. I said that. My mom was tearing, my dad was tearing, there was a pin drop silence, and we turned to the right, and we seen the Nabi of Allah was in the mode of receiving revelation. And how many people used to say this, and when I say this, I get green with envy for Sahaba. Like someone came to that Sahabi, he said, Tuba lihataini al-ainain allati ra'ata Rasulallah. He said, can I just sit and look at your face? Because I know these eyes have seen the eyes of Nabi alayhi salam every day so many times. And can you imagine that moment? You go on a safari and you see a king and you see a hunt. Oh, it's just breathtaking. We went to the Mara and we seen a close by hunt, 75%, and the lioness, and she was inching, and there was a water buck, and she was about to prey, and she was about to attack. And you know, it's such a moment, a kill, a bite, that's great, that's whatever it is. Can you imagine the Nabi of Allah, as it stands, the paragon of Allah, and then to climax that is when he is receiving revelation from Allah, and we sit in there and revelation is in process. And they came down the revelation, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated Aisha, and she said, I had no doubt Allah will prove my innocence, but I never thought I was so close to Allah that he's going to do it in the form of Quran. I thought the Nabi of Allah is going to get up one morning and say, Aisha, I had a dream. I thought he's going to say, Jibreel came down and told me this. I thought that's it. You know, you say, I thought I'll get a column, I'll get an article. I didn't know they're going to make headlines. And that's one regular paper, man. That's it. It's the end of it. Nothing more. It's over. You know, Excel, they say, hey, matric result. You bought the paper, hey, buy the paper. You walk in each shop there, one award there, and you see that one newspaper cutting is sitting there. Best butcher, best pharmacy, best this year is sitting there. And after 10 years, it wasn't best. They don't put all those other ones. There's one day sitting there. We get thrilled by all these, you know, pampering and pats on our back and a little bit of acknowledgements here. May Allah be pleased with us. May Allah acknowledge us. May Allah recognize us. And then the chapter is closed. So just to bring it to another point, the message we learn from here, in life there are many times you just have to drop, you've made the dua, now your job is nothing but sabr and move on. And sabr jameel means you don't complain at all. That's his sabr jameel. You tell your child, I bought a phone, I don't want a phone, I want a branded phone, a particular phone. Allah said, I don't want sabr, I want a branded sabr. I want an endorsed sabr. I don't want the sabr. Which sabr you want? A sabrul ladhi la jaz. I don't want no moaning or groaning. Don't come with that sabr. We want quality sabr. So in life, Sayyidina Musa made dua for the destruction of Pharaoh. Allah said, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا فَاسْتَقِيمَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعَنِّ سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Musa, your prayer has been answered in principle. Pharaoh will be destroyed. Now don't be amongst those that are saying, I made dua and prayer is not answered. Now continue doing what you have to do. The scholars tell us he made dua for the destruction and the annihilation of the empire of Pharaoh. In principle, Allah affirmed the acceptance of his prayer. But Allah physically crumbled the empire of Pharaoh 40 years later. So that's it. Yaqub, when he lost his son, and he said, Sabrun Jamil, two narration exists. Some say he was reunited after 40 years, some say 80 years. That's the spirit of a believer. Sabrun Jamil, move on. The little boy is picked up to move things forward, and then he's brought to Egypt and he's sold, and the minister purchases him, but he realizes this boy's got talent, he's got vision, he's not your regular, he's not your average boy. He picks up, he says he's got wisdom, he tells his wife, Akrimi maswahu asa. Asa ayyanfa'ana. Listen, my wife, I bought the slave, but this is not your common average slave. Look after him. I see great potential in this boy. Look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's words again. Oh man, you know, these people were inspired. He said, throughout history, if I have to select three individuals who stand out in their wisdom, then they will be the following three. Number one, it will be the daughter of Shu'aib. When she seen the wisdom of Musa, and she said to her father, oh my father, this is a good man to employ. Because he came, he assisted us at the well, and he didn't cast a glance on me at all. This man is a man of integrity, number one. The second person that stands out is this man, the minister, who bought the little boy and told his wife, listen, this is not a common boy, look after him. And the third person was none other than Abu Bakr, when he nominated Umar after him. Somebody told Abu Bakr, Umar is so robust and muscular and strong when you are around. Imagine when you're gone, what he'll do. Abu Bakr said, I have no doubt the burden of Khilafat will soften him instantly. The burden of Khilafat will soften him instantly. I speak with the capacity of a father on my head and with the cap of a teacher. It's done me a great blessing to be a father of teenagers and at the same time teach youngsters. So I can just identify with them better. Not that I've achieved on any front. I told you that man who said, before I got married, I had 6 theories on raising children. Now I got 6 children, no theories. I don't have 6. None of my wife asked me, where's the other 2? Right? So I'm just quoting this here. Before I got married, I had 6 theories. I'll do this, I'll do this. Me, I tell my son like this. I'll tell boy, G. Hey, me, I'm going to tell my wife, hey, you, yeah. We got it covered. You got it covered. That's how you think you'll be at home also. So the boy asked his mom, Mom, when am I going to be of age that I don't have to ask you, when can I go, when can I come, where I went? She looked at him and said, hey, my son, even your father hasn't reached that age. Big boss running an empire. They must press their thumb and walk in. But when he comes home, he's putting his thumb there. What time you came in, where you went, what you did. I shared this example, my friends are with me here, who joined me on this trip. We were gone to Sri Lanka and then we went to Mali. And then we were just having a little tour, long story short. So while we were doing the tour in Mali, so the driver who was taking us around, speaking his own dialect, very exclusive to them, we had no clue what it was. And then he's... So my friend nudged me, he said, Prat me sifro. He's talking to his wife. I said, no man, but we got no clue, you can't pick up anything. He said, just watch his body language. I don't want to call those two friends of mine on here, they'll be on the spot. Yes, I just leave them there, you know. They'll be a bit awkward about this, I'll leave it to that. So anyway, he put the phone down. Sorry, my wife phone. Oh my Allah. It gets more intriguing. You think that was bad, it gets more intriguing. I tell her, I come lunch 2 o'clock, I no come. She shout, oh man. Tour the globe, it's the same challenges. Mali in the heart of somewhere else. She tell me 2 o'clock food, I no come. She shout. I said, okay man, you know, some things are just common across the globe. Same pattern right through. So when will I reach that age? Even your father hasn't reached that age. Anyway. That's besides the point. So we were speaking about the moving forward. What did I say? That being a father and being a teacher, It made me feel and interact a bit better, because raising the kids of today is very daunting. Someone said we only have youth once, because society can't handle it for a second time. Youth only, it's once, because society can't handle it for a second time. It's a crazy phase. It's a phase of absolute insanity. But having the cap of a father on my head and trying in my broken ways, trying to reach out to my children and then trying to identify with my students, has given me somewhat a better understanding to move forward in these challenges of life. So what did Sayyidina Abu Bakr say? The burden of Khilafat will soften Umar. Because that's a responsibility. There was a woman who was mentally impaired. She was parading and she used to walk around and cause havoc. So Umar said, "Sister, you want to sit at home, please? I'll take care of all your needs." So she sat at home and Umar used to attend to it. When Sayyidina Umar passed away, someone went to her and said, "Inna alladhi nahaki qad mat." The man who told you not to come out, he passed away. Now you can come out. She said, "Umar is not a man that you obey him when he's alive and you disobey him when he's dead." Ma kuntu li uti'ahu hayyan wa a'siyah. I'm saying, Umar, what a legacy, man. Umar, what a legacy. Allah knows how my heart cries when I think of Umar. Every time I stand at his qabr, I just tear and tear. I say, you were the man with the sword to assassinate my Nabi. But what a metamorphic change that you're sleeping in his lap till Qiyamah. What a change, you are resting in the lap of my Nabi. I'm green with envy. Abu Bakr, you were a hero from day one. You were a hero, my Abu, you were a hero. Revive the names of Sahaba. Bring good things in your homes. I met a child in Canada, in North America. At the age of 4 or 5, the child memorized the Quran. They brought the child, they said, "Sheikh, make dua." I said, "What dua am I going to make? The child must make dua for me. He's innocent, he's pure, and he's got the Quran." I tested him randomly, he read. I set the parents down, I said, "Share the secret with me, let him pass it over to others." He said, "When my wife conceived," we said, "that's the end of TV, that's the end of internet in our house. It's bringing a lot of immoral, obscene things. Let's flush it out, make it clean. Allah will make our children pure." This is something I've seen with my own eyes. This is something I identified with my own eyes. Anyway, the burden of Khilafat. So, the young boy Yusuf comes into the palace. And here comes, وَهَذِهِ الْمِحْنَةُ الثَّالِثَ بَعْدَ مِحْنَةِ الْجُبِّ وَالْإِسْتِرْقَاقِ. So, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكِ. This young boy Yusuf, growing up in the palace, one day due to his beauty and his, what Allah had blessed him and endowed him with, the minister's wife now makes nasty advancements towards him. She shut the doors of the palace. Haytalak, come on, asriq ilayya, let me talk to you. Now again, if you understand Quran and you are having your moment, in a lonely moment, and the devil is playing tricks with you, and you sit and reflect and revive the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam, there's nothing more soothing to suppress that negative arousal within you, that evil crave within you, than to visualize the tale of Yusuf, to briefly run through the complexities and the predicament of Yusuf alayhi salam. The minister's wife seduced him. Number one, the challenge is, he was living in her home, so there was an ethical and moral obligation. But she exploited and abused it. Number two, ما ركب الله في طبع الرجل من ميله إلى المرأة كما يميل العطشان إلى الماء والجائع إلى الطعام حتى أن كثيرا من الناس يصبر عن الطعام والشراب ولا يصبر عن النساء وهذا لا يذم أصلا إذا صادف حلالا. Ibn Jawzi's narration, you can read it, my time is running up here. So Allah has created man's anatomy, a male, you know, he is inclined towards a woman. You know, the youngster came to me, he say, "I don't know how to say it, Sheikh, but me, I'm flammable, and they're throwing sparks at me." I say, "Keep clear, my brother, you're in the wrong zones." Allah has created, Ibn Jawzi writes, the makeup, the anatomy of a man is, he is inclined towards woman, like how a hungry man is inclined towards food, or a thirsty man is inclined towards water, nay, even more. Why? You hear of examples of hunger strike, you don't hear of woman strike. Our deen, man, I cannot tell you the thrill and the pleasure I get when I read Quran and Sunnah, and when you research in it, especially when everybody is sleeping and you sit in with your kitab. By Allah, it is such an ecstasy. I have nothing. I don't even understand. سَهْرِي لِتَنْقِيحِ الْعُلُومِ أَلَذُّ لِي مِنْ وَصْلِ غَانِيَةٍ وَطِيبِ عِنَاقِي. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, said, staying awake by night gives me a greater thrill than embracing and hugging a woman who's naturally beautiful at the most exotic location. And this wasn't an exaggeration, this was real. It gives me a greater thrill. I must share with you on a light side. I was in Sri Lanka 2 weeks ago. So we know, according to the Hanafi school of thought, that you know you don't eat your crabs and the rest of it. So the brother said, I'll take you to a nice crab shop and all that. I said, no, you know. He said, but you love Imam Shafi, you quote him so much. I say, brother, that's a separate thing. You know what? Jurisprudence is separate, poetry is different. Be it as it may, look at the fantasy, look at the thrill. وَأَلَذُّ مِن نَقْرِ الْفَتَاةِ لِتُفِّهَا نَقْرِ لِأُلْقِ الرَّمَلَ عَنْ أَوْرَاقِ. Put a young girl to play the piano and play the flute and play the lyrics and give me my kitab just to dust it and embrace it. I get a greater thrill from this than that. And then he said, وَضَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ تُنْسِي لَيْلَةَ الْعُرْسِ. Remember that first squeeze of the grave will make you forget every romantic embrace of any woman. Every romantic embrace of any woman. Now when we were in Paris, so they took us for a drive. So he said, Sheikh, you seen this? I said, what? He said, look at all the locks on the gate. I said, and then? So now it's beautiful, Eiffel Tower, everything there. So he said, couples come here, and then they lock it, and then they throw the key in the river, like we together for life. I said, I wish it was so easy, like locking a lock, man. Locking a lock, and then you're looking through the book, and say, brother, what you looking? Say, I'm looking for the expiry date on my nikah certificate. No, my brother. It's easy to become a Muslim. It's difficult to remain a Muslim. It's easy to get married. It's difficult to remain married. It's easy to become a Hafiz. It's difficult to remain a Hafiz. Make someone Muslim 2 minutes. Remain a Muslim, very difficult. Oh, Sini, one of you, Allah, give me advice. Qul amantu billah. Say, I brought Iman on Allah. Thumma istaqim. Then diligently comply to the dictates of that proclamation till your last breath. That proclamation brings about certain requests in your life. I made a statement. I've contracted myself to Allah. I have a lease in place. I have an agreement with Allah. My agreement doesn't allow me to venture at these venues. My Allah doesn't allow me. I cannot go in these grey areas. So that's the first thing. Number two, Kana Yusuf Shabban. He was a young man. And you can imagine youth. Number three, he was unmarried. When you're unmarried, it's more challenging. Number four, he was gharib, he was in a foreign location. Brother, where are you going? China. What business? Not your business. Okay, like that. You travel alone? Yeah, for convenience. Okay, no worries. No, we don't doubt you. We're not casting aspersions on you. Business, like you said, business. I mean, inshallah. You are alone. How many people, as soon as they board the aircraft, they drop their guard? As soon as you leave your borders, now you put relax, easy. The standards of halal become easy. The standard of prayer become flexible. Interaction becomes casual. Everything takes a very... Look here, there is concession. And I'm cognizant about this here. It's categoric in the Quran. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Islam is pragmatic. Islam is practical. But legislated concession. I'm not at liberty to make my own concessions. What is documented and legislated? I'm a frequent traveler and I understand and I'm cognizant and I'm hands-on with this here. And we need to use the concession within the parameters of Sharia. But just to drop your guard and become unmindful, that's what happens. So Yusuf alayhi salam had an added challenge. He was in a foreign place. Then, تَوَعَدَتْهُ بِالسِّجْنِ. She threatened him that if you're not going to comply, then there'll be catastrophic consequences. I will have you imprisoned. And it goes on and on. But with all this attraction, with all this, can you imagine? You know, you're traveling on that long haul, 10 hours, and there's a beautiful woman sitting next to you. Now every 5 minutes, that pillow is just falling off by mistake. And every... sorry, ma'am. Sorry. I'm sorry. Please. Allah knows that 10 hours, what happens? Allah is watching. You are surrounded with all these temptations. And when she threatened, she said, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ You said, I had to comply and agree, otherwise my job. I had to agree, otherwise my promotion. I had to agree, otherwise my retirement fund. I had to agree, otherwise my bonus. Yusuf alayhi salam said, if I agreed, it was sin. And if I disagreed, it was jail. Allah, I am happy with that jail. I'm not happy with sin. I'm happy. And it wasn't a jail for a night or a week or 2 weeks. It was another 7 years altogether there. And that opens up another chapter altogether. And after all this here, just to bring it to some conclusion here, so we end on a note here. His innocence was so unique that the woman ultimately, I'm not going through the detail. By the way, if you want to know the tale of Yusuf, if we follow in sequence, we are on page 3 of the tale. And it's half a juice. Right? So I don't want to scare you, the night is young, whatever you want to say is 3. We're on page 3. 1, 2, 3 of the chapter, and it's half a juice. It's 15 pages. We're on page 3 here, and 2 hours have left. But inshallah, the point is not to complete. The point is to take a lesson. Nothing of mine. It's the Quran, my brother. Whatever I got nothing. Everything Allah is. It's in Quran and Sunnah. The ulama say, you say he's a good planner. Man's good planning is nothing other than objectively using the resources that nature has put at your disposal. Allah is a planner. Man is not a planner. Man, when man plans, he objectively uses the resources that nature has put here. The air was there, the atmosphere was there. Subsequently, we discover that we can communicate through airwaves. Otherwise, it was there before, and we don't know. As we tap into these resources, there'll be new innovations, and we will research and discover more things. So Allah's knowledge is perfect, and Allah's knowledge is infinite, and Allah's knowledge is unending. I have absolutely nothing, and what knowledge does man have? Absolutely shallow. So anyway, the woman who was the minister's wife, in the end she admit, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي I seduced him and he's innocent. Then all the women of Egypt said, مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوء We collectively in one voice say, this man has never cast a glance at us. Imagine, can your whole community say that? All the women of Roshni say, oh, this man, this is what you call pious. You start from home, you won't win. Start from home, you won't win. You know exactly what's going to happen at home, and then it's chaotic. Never mind progress beyond that year. Our wives know our condition and our weakness, and may Allah reward them for their support and their efforts and what they do for us and how they assist us so that we can come out and do whatever little we do. So all the women of Egypt said, this man is innocent and pure. Then the Quran said, لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهِ السُّوءَ We diverted evil from him. And Allah said, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ He's from amongst my selected servants. And the devil said, Allah, I will not dare interfere with any of your selected servants. So 4 testimonies to his nobility. Yet the modest and humble Yusuf says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي And I'm not here to trumpet myself. And I'm not here to rave about my piety. I'm a human from amongst mortals. And every ego is prone towards sin. Every ego is prone towards sin. I leave you with this incident as well. On that note of Salma before she wedded Nabi alayhi salam. Long story short, when she was leaving Makkah and she was coming to Medina, and she said, I had to travel alone with my son. And as I left Makkah and I came to Tan'im, which is 3 miles from Makkah where we renew our ihram. And I met Uthman bin Talha. And he said, Ila aina ya bint Zad al-Raqib? Her father was known as Zad al-Raqib, was a very generous man. That if you travel with this man, you didn't have to take food or provisions, he'll take care of everyone. Some people, you know, if you're traveling, you need to take more in your wallet. That guy ideally forgets it, or ideally he got wrong currency. I've traveled and wallahi, I've seen some people, may Allah reward them, they have loose hands and they have generous hands. وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا وَسَرَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ Imam Shafi says, if you have overwhelming sins and you're looking for a quick way out, then do generosity in abundance. Allah will conceal your wrong in this world and in akhirat. Allah will conceal it. تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ So she was known as that. Where you off to Bint Zad al-Raqib? Now I'm going to Medina. You going alone? Well, I don't have anyone else. By Allah, I will never leave you. By Allah, I will never leave you. And then he escorts me. She says, we travel for weeks on end. Allah be my witness. The man never made eye contact with me for all these weeks. ما صحبت رجلا من العرب قط أكرم منه ولا أشرف كان إذا بلغ منزلا منازل أناخ بعيرا. Whenever we would come to a place, he would set the camel down. Then I would dismount. Then he would backstep. And then when I would move, then he would take the reins of the camel. He would then tie it to a tree. The animal would graze. He would move one side. We would sit one side. Then we would graze. When it's time to resume, he would come, kneel the camel down, sit in front. And then I would mount on with my kid, and we carried on and on and on until we came to Medina. When we got there, he waited for no acknowledgement, no applause, no praise. And that's what they say, the sky is the limit if we don't care who gets the credit. He said, sister, I'm sure your husband is in this town, you can go in. He took a turn back after 5 to 6 weeks traveling with me. But remember, Allah is watching you, my brother. And I often say, he was not a Muslim at that time. Imagine the fabric of that society. He was not a Muslim at that time, and he never cast a glance on me. But how did Allah compensate him? Allah blessed him with iman. And there can be no greater compensation of a virtue other than Allah give you iman. And there can be no retribution of an offense other than deprivation of iman. May Allah protect us. Now, I might offer a hand of help to someone, but Allah knows what's bothering in my heart. In English they say that the world analyzes our actions. No, mashallah, he's a good man, he helps people. It's enough to buy the recognition of people. But Allah analyzes the motives of our actions. I stood on the side of the road, mashallah, what a good man. But am I praying P-R-A-Y or P-R-E-Y? I'm praying on her vulnerability. We will be probably most embarrassed of our best actions if the world only knew the motives behind them. We would probably be most embarrassed of our best actions. That's, you know what I did? But if only, what's the motive behind them? Yeah, Rabi ibn Khuthaym was a great man. So there was a woman who was immoral. Someone gave her money and said, go get this man to give you a kiss, and we'll give you 1,000 dinars. She was immoral, she wasn't chaste, and you know, she used to do these type of things. So he said, 1,000 dinars, وَلَكَ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ أَن يَزْنِي. I'll get the man to sleep with me, and I'll get the man to make zina. They said, that's exactly what we want to do. So she comes, تَجَرَّدَتْ عَنْ ثِيَابِهَا. She undresses herself, and she presents herself, and she offers herself. Each man knows his weakness. A friend of mine said, I have that much iman that I will never flirt a woman. But Sheikh, if she comes, Allah knows best. Allah knows. I said, at least you're honest, my brother. But why are you telling it to me? Don't tell it to me, Sheikh. Where are we going to go? You tell your Allah, I tell my Allah. He said, no, inshallah, I won't. But hey, if she comes, Allah knows best. That's a euphemistic way of saying, unfortunately, I would, my weakness would give way. She undresses herself and she presents. And she says, I am offering myself to you. So Rabi ibn Khuthaym was a great man. Said, sister, I will do everything what you want. If you can just answer my question. كَيْفَ بِكِ إِذَا نَزَلَ بِكِ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ وَقَطَعَ مِنْكِ حَبْلَ الْوَتِينِ. My sister, if the angel of death abruptly interjects in this gathering of ours, and he comes to rip your soul out, will you be comfortable with the action what you did? And she froze. And she started tearing, and he seen the niche, and he started giving her da'wat, and then she became the most reformed woman of that time. So these people said, أَرْسَلْنَاهَا لِتُفْسِدَ الرَّبِيعَ فَأَفْسَدَهَا الرَّبِيعَ. We sent her to corrupt Rabi', but Rabi' was so profound that he reformed her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he record us amongst those who are forgiven on this night. We ask Allah to make us amongst those who make the necessary changes in our life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he give us the ability to connect ourselves with the sciences of the Quran and understand the message of the Quran. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله